Today's episode of Comedian Seriously was recorded at Blue Star Brewery. If you're in or around the San Antonio area, go visit them. Eat a burger, drink a beer, or do what I do and drink some coffee. Again, that's Blue Star Brewery. And now, listen to the show.
Thank you for listening, and most of all, thank you for just being you. You're currently listening to Comedians Seriously, a humorously serious podcast. And now, without further ado, here is your intrepid host for the hour, the one and only Bob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comedians Seriously, a humorously serious podcast. I want to thank you so much for listening. And if you haven't done so, go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/comedianseriously. Even check out our website, which is www.comedianseriously.com. Now, I wanted to get that, right off the bat. I just wanted to get it out of the way. In today's episode, I interviewed James Bazquez. I butcher that name, so I'm just trying to make a, light of it, because I don't know how to pronounce it. He's such a wonderful guy. He's a very funny guy. We talked about everything. We talked about Todd Glass and how delicious he is. We talked about Dove Davidoff and how he punched somebody in the face. We even talked about Lonnie Love and how much of a cunt she is. And this is a great episode. And towards the end, I asked him about plugs. And I recorded this a while back, so some of the plugs are out of date. But there is a show coming up in February that he talks about. You should go. If you don't go, Lonnie Love is a cunt. Just go to the damn show. And then we also do an impromptu improv between Christopher Walken and Norm Macdonald, so stay tuned for that. And just a heads up, there's not going to be an outro, because I know in past episodes I've done outros where I say thank everybody for listening and then it goes out. No, it's just going to be the interview, music, and then done. So don't stick around and listen. I don't want to waste your time. Pretty much, are we on a first date? I think we are. Now, this is how I am on a first date. I just pretty much just ask straight to the point questions, like, are you allergic to jalapenos? Do you like baby oil? Stuff like that. Again, I'm rambling on. I've been doing that lately. I've been going through a lot. Started smoking cigarettes. Now I stopped cigarettes and I'm on to vaping. And now I'm gonna start smoking cigars again. I smoke cigars and then black stuff started coming out of my nose. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, and I don't know why I'm staring at this microphone, thinking it's somebody. Anyways, James Bazquez, wonderful guy. Listen to this episode. Go to our website, comedianseriously.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/comedianseriously. Check out the dates. We're going to have a comedy showcase coming up on February the 18th at Blue Star Brewery. They're gracious enough to let me record there, and they're gracious enough to let me have a comedy show there. The last one we did went pretty good, but we'll go to this next one, February the 18th. It's free. That's right. I said it. It's free. So listen. Not listen, but go. Go on the February 18th and listen to this episode. And listen to other episodes. Listen to past episodes. I'm rambling. Here's my interview with James Bazquez. Thank you for doing this, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
I haven't done this in a while. I took 2 weeks off, for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
Last person I interviewed was Joan Riviera.
Joan Riviera, okay, cool.
She's very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
She's been doing comedy for a long time, and she's really good. She puts on a lot of shows around town.
Uh-huh.
And when I was first starting out, she was kind of one of the people that all the new guys looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
As far as direction on how to like get on stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good having her in San Antonio. And she definitely brings a different crowd.
Yeah.
To comedy. So
who's that person now who takes everybody under their wing?
Really, it's been Jay Whitecotton.
Okay.
Which I'm sure. Have you ever met Jake?
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think the main thing he did was the biggest thing going on in San Antonio as far as comedy, which I'm sure you've heard, is the Blind Tiger Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of his brainchild, and he basically got the ball rolling. And for the last 2 years, all the guys who are serious about comedy have been have picked up the ball, and we've just ran with it, you know.
And you perform there very often?
Yeah, I'm there every Friday at midnight.
Cool, every man. Friday. Every Friday.
Every Friday. There, it's church for us. So
haven't been in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it there.
It's been really good, man. Did you come? You came out the night Todd Glass was there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a guest set there. We've had some really great acts on the stage. Besides the guys who go up every week, which it's not like an open mic. It's more of a showcase.
Yeah.
So you get quality there all the time.
Exactly.
But we've had like Hannibal Buress has done time there.
I heard.
Ryan Stout. You know, Vic Henley.
Ryan Stout from LA, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I went to LA and I saw him there. And I told him, hey, I saw you at the Blind Tiger.
Really?
He was like, really? Like, he dropped the whole act. You know how he's real, like, just
stone-faced. Yeah, yeah,
he dropped it. He was like, oh, wait, really? He was real appreciative.
Awesome. Yeah. That room, people remember it. And I think it's the best thing going for comedy in San Antonio because people see San Antonio as an actual comedy town now when they go through there. I'm talking about the touring comedians. And it's something, you know, like Todd Glass said, he wanted to do a special there.
Exactly.
I don't know how much of that was actual. I'm sure he does want to do
it. He was pretty serious about it. I was out there when he was talking to White Cotton.
Yeah.
I have to say I was obsessed with Todd Glass.
I became obsessed with him after the end of the week.
Yeah.
The guy is, he's unlike anyone you'll ever meet, you know.
Yeah.
And he was so genuine. And
he
was just willing to talk to anyone about anything. And you don't get that a lot. Most comedians are very supportive, but they won't always take the time to get to know you, you know. And he did with everyone. So
I'm supposed to interview Ralphie May.
Really?
I reached out to him on Twitter.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Yeah, he'll be here. He's tomorrow. Coming in town tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll do that.
That'd be nice.
I don't know.
Yeah, Ralphie's a nice guy.
I've met him once before. Yeah.
He's a hard worker. You know, he's always on the road and. But yeah, he'll be here this weekend. And so another thing I should say about myself is that, I actually work at the comedy club, LOL, Laugh Out Loud. So I get to see pretty much every act that goes through.
How long have you been working there?
Since it opened. So that was, what was that? November of 2009, I believe.
Very nice.
So
is that your full time?
Maybe 2010.
Is that your full time job or?
Yeah, I do lots of side jobs. Basically, I do anything that will facilitate my ability to still pursue comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like delivery jobs I do
cool.
for a catering company. I do karaoke on the side for Bitter Karaoke.
I saw you in action.
Yeah.
At the was it the
was that Crazy Ape?
Crazy Ape. I was gonna say ape Grape Apes.
Yeah, Grape Ape. That's what most people call it.
Yeah.
The Laugh Out Loud working the door there is pretty much my main thing. Which, it's really, when I first started working there, I didn't really have an idea that I wanted to go into comedy, but.
Really?
Yeah. It was more of just like, this seems like a cool job. Because at the time, I was pursuing journalism pretty adamantly. I was writing for the San Antonio Current. Did that for about a year.
Very nice.
And that was right after I had gotten my degree in journalism.
Hey, where did you graduate from?
That's a 2-year associate's degree from San Pedro High School or San Antonio College.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
But they,
I don't have that, so that's great.
They actually Congrats. They have a very legit journalism program there, so it actually opened up some pretty good doors for me, but I after being in it for about a year, I realized that maybe it wasn't for me. And it's still something that I like to like, I've always been a writer. I've always been good at writing, which is why I went into journalism. But, like, my dream job, I realized, was always one day being able to write for The Onion, which I'm sure most of your listeners know what The Onion is. And
hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So I always wanted to do some kind of comedy. I just didn't realize that stand-up was probably my best avenue to get into it, you know.
Very cool, man. And have you pursued it for The Onion? Like, have you?
I used to write back in the days of like MySpace and LiveJournal. I used to write. I used to have my own satirical newspaper, and I put out maybe 5 or 6 issues, just like, you know, one sheet, front and back.
That's cool.
It was something that I really wanted to do, but once I got focused, it was called the Scoffing Citizen. That's what I called it. I still like that name.
That is good. Holds up.
Yeah. And I think there's still, if you go back into the annals of the internet, there's probably still pages up somewhere. I don't even know how to get to them now. But once I started pursuing comedy and I realized it was something that I could actually do consistently, I kind of moved all my focus over to that.
Okay.
Stand-up, yeah.
Have you thought about bringing that paper back up?
Not in a while. I think
that would be awesome. Yeah, I think you have the connection at LOL. You can leave it there.
Yeah. The thing is, now that this was when I was doing that, it was before the social media had really exploded.
Okay.
And now that kind of stuff, you can kind of find it everywhere.
The online.
Yeah. You know, there's always someone trying to do a satire. A lot of people, most people don't do it well. Other than The Onion, everyone wants to be The Onion, I think. And really, they're the only ones I think can do that. It doesn't mean I wouldn't love to still write for them one day. That would be a dream job, you know. But as of right now, I mean, comedy is like a process, you know. You kind of have to learn to walk before you run.
How old are you now?
I'm 33. I just turned 33.
Oh, yeah. You don't look it. You look maybe about
31. Well, all right. That's not so much right. But still. All right, cool.
I'm joking. How old were you when you started stand-up? Did you get a late start?
This was about, yeah, I got a late start like a lot of people did. A lot of people got into it whenever LOL opened up and they started doing the open mics, at least a lot of people here in San Antonio. So I was probably 28 maybe. I think I've been doing it for close to 5 years.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that I waited that long before I figured out that I could do this. But at the same time, you know, it's better late than never kind of thing.
Now, had you ever been like attracted to it at all, or like growing up, or
I mean, comedy was always, you know, one of my favorite things. You know, my favorite movies were always comedies and
influences. Who were they?
Well, let's see. I think later in life it was like George Carlin, but early on, some of my favorite comedies or ones you maybe not traditionally would expect, like probably my favorite movie, at least maybe comedy of all time, is The Burbs.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is a really underrated comedic actor.
He is.
And he doesn't really do it anymore, but in those early days, him and, of course, like Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, those early Eddie Murphy movies are great.
Like the 80s?
Yeah, like, you know, the...
Would you Boomerang?
No, not so much Boomerang.
No?
I was a big
Isn't
fan.
Isn't there a funny scene in where he's lying down with the girl and she like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny scene.
Yeah, that's... I think that was when he was... I liked it more as the caricature kind of thing he did. Like Trading Places.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
Trading Places is the one, yeah. So those movies... there's movies...
Boomerang was kind of transitioning into
that. Yeah, transitioning into him trying to be more
Harlem
of a,
Knights.
Yeah,
I like Harlem Knights. I love the dialogue in Harlem Knights. I really do. And then it has Red Fox, which you probably can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy, yeah.
You're originally from San Antonio?
No, I grew up in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up in a very white district of Houston called Magnolia. It's north of the city, kind of out in the woodlands.
Like close to Tomball or anything?
Yeah, actually, Tomball was like our rival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so which Tomball and Magnolia shows that, you know, I was out there kind of in the sticks. But it, I don't know. I wouldn't change it at all. I love the people I grew up with. And I was like one of maybe, I don't know, 15 Hispanic kids in the entire school, you know.
Growing up, were you funny?
I was always the like class clown kind of thing. Like I always wanted the attention. I'm not sure how many laughs I actually got, but I tried anyway.
Now, the reason you were funny, was it because you were in that community where you were the minority?
I think so. I didn't really realize it as a child. Like, I was just always just one of the other kids.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I sense there's something to something different about me. I don't know. And but, I mean, I was really well-liked. I was I was a popular kid, but...
People knew you.
People knew me. Yeah, I was. I had lots of friends, and you know, people knew me as one of the goofy guys. Me and a couple other guys. You know, my two best friends. We were the kind of quasi stoners because we didn't smoke weed at the time because we were still.
We acted like it.
Yeah, we were like the, you know, we listened to the cool music before it was cool, stuff like that. So I don't know. I guess just I always liked separating myself from the crowd, but I had no problem with the crowd either.
You know? And when did you come to San Antonio? How long were you in Houston?
I grew up in Houston. I was there till freshman year of high school. So, and then I came here.
And what's the reason you came over here?
My dad got work here. Oh, okay. So, yeah. It was like a, you know, it was, you know, better financial situation for our family.
Okay. And how was that transition? Did you want to move over here?
No,
or you just
not at all. That was tough. That was really tough. I felt like I lost my identity for a while because I didn't know how to fit in here. Where it wasn't so much that I wasn't the minority anymore, but it was just it was a different, very different change of pace city life as opposed to
fast pace.
Yeah, living out in the country, you know.
Or I mean, Houston is fast paced, but yeah, it is all country up north.
Yeah, where I was very not so much rural, but kind of a little backwater.
It still is. Yeah. Like I was up there a couple years ago in Tomball, and
yeah.
It's very, like, there's just a movie theater,
yeah.
And then woods, and then a Target. And
exactly.
Like,
well, yeah, nice. Target wasn't even there when I was there. The movie theater was. It's always been the same movie theater. It's like Cinema 6.
Yeah.
There's six theaters. I saw Demon Knight there whenever I wasn't supposed to. That shows how long ago it was that
That's
I was
the
there.
Best. I remember going to the theaters and watching Bedazzled.
Nice.
Yeah, so stupid.
Elizabeth Hurley, she was hot.
And so the transition over here was difficult. What did you do? Like, did you act out on it? Or?
No, I was always kind of a good kid. But I kept to myself for like maybe a year and a half, 2 years. I kind of became an introvert.
Okay.
Whereas in Houston, I was very, very much the extrovert out there. So I was comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it kind of changed, I think, the course of my life a little bit whenever I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to basically start over at an age where that's like the last thing you want to do.
Yeah.
But I think it also, it gave me the skills to kind of look within myself for to entertain myself. And yeah. I think my comedy has blossomed from that.
Now, as a kid, like what you, besides The Burbs, the Tom Hanks and stuff like that, what else would you, did you watch any like cartoons or any stand-up specials at that?
Stand-up specials? I think the first stand-up special I ever saw was Tommy Davidson. I can't remember. Which is hilarious because he's going to be here next week.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of like, Tommy Davidson, he's washed up. I'm like, maybe he is, but that's like my earliest memory of comedy, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
you know?
You hold that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like me, it would be Rita Rudner for me.
Rita Rudner, really?
Yeah.
I never really watched her much as a kid, but I mean, I know her act, so yeah. That's kind of a weird thing for a kid to be into.
I don't know, growing up, like, I remember, and I said this to Joan, in elementary,
really?
I was doing Rita Rudner bits.
Nice.
And it was. I didn't have any breasts then. Now I do.
Yeah, yeah, we all do now. Yeah.
Yeah, they used to show up like the army. Are you growing up, and then you come over here, and then you graduated. What high school did you go to? If you want to say, if you don't want
to. Yeah, no, it's fine. I went to MacArthur, which was a nice transition because it was a nice blend. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't ghetto.
No.
It wasn't. It was pretty. It was, you know, very, very middle class, which is where I came from.
Out in the woods, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Over there. Well, it's right by the airport, so not so much. Okay. But it was right around the corner from Madison, which is like the agricultural high school. So there was that element of just kind of like, you know, big city, but not really. You know, everyone there was really cool. You know, I didn't really know what to do when I got there, so I joined the football team. I actually played football for a couple years in high school. And the same thing kind of happened where I just kind of became cool with everyone. And so it was I ended up becoming a journalism dork towards the end of it. And that's where I still have friends from my journalism classes there that I talked to. I had lunch with one of the guys today. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was nice. It was a nice transition. Like I said, it wasn't my early life wasn't there really wasn't a whole lot of hardship or anything. I think I just always wanted to kind of be center of attention. Yeah, so that's
that stays with you till today, or
yeah, a little bit. I think I'm always looking for a way into the conversation. Yeah. Maybe I don't focus it on myself anymore, but I'm always trying to put myself in there somehow. Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch? You mentioned you kept in touch with your friends from journalism high school. What about Houston? Do you keep in touch with anybody from there? Your best friends from there?
Yeah, like outside the two guys I grew up with, Aaron and Caleb. It was always Aaron, James, and Caleb were like a trio. My brother got married in November, and Caleb actually drove up from Austin. He lives in Austin now.
Cool.
Drove up for the wedding, and Aaron is actually he's an actor in Houston now.
Cool.
And he was starring in a play that night, so he couldn't make it, but he wanted to be there. So yeah, man, I've made those connections with people, like, you know, they're gonna last forever.
Yeah.
And another one of my friends, she came up from Houston, so yeah, I still keep in contact with people, and you know, of course, through Facebook, you can.
Yeah.
People always drop in a line just to say what's up, and people see that I'm doing shows and stuff, and you know, they're happy for me. So
maybe think about what would we do without, like, Facebook and
yeah,
you know, I mean, just in the point of, like, keeping in touch with those people.
Exactly. Those people would, mm-hmm. it would be, you know, just memories now.
And the high school reunions.
Yeah.
Did you go to your high school reunion?
I went to, yeah, my MacArthur one.
How was it?
It was fine. Most of, like I said, most of the people that I really wanted to
see, I already.
We all went together as a group, and then we just went back and got drunk at my house or something. I think that's what we did, so.
All right, so transitioning from high school into college, you went to SAC.
San Antonio College, yeah.
So right out of high school, you went to college.
I took like a year, maybe a year or two off. I think I just wanted to work for a while, see what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to a university, but I never did the whole application processes. Like, all that stuff was just like, no, it's too much red tape. Yeah. I don't want to do it. And I had decent grades. It was just probably laziness more than anything. Hmm. But I still wanted to go to college. So SAC was easy. It was cheap. You know, because I had to finance myself for the most part. So I did that for a while. Like, I started out, like, I would do take, you know, 12 hours, and then it went down to 9 hours, and then I would take a semester off. So a two-year degree took me probably, like, 5 years, but so that spread
that's
out.
That's good. Well, you got it.
No, yeah, no, no. Yeah. But, yeah, the college was cool. I think that's where I got – more of an appreciation for performing arts too, because, you know, obviously I was going to shows all the time, concerts, because that was the thing to do. Yeah. I've always been a huge music guy.
Yeah.
I've probably been to, I don't know, 600-700 shows in my life.
What was the last show you went to?
I went and saw Propagandhi two Saturdays ago in Austin.
Cool.
Which is like probably top three band for me, who I've only seen once before. And because they just never really tour, they're Canadian, they're vegan, they're weirdos.
So they don't tour.
Yeah, they don't come to Texas anyway when they tour. But yeah, I got to see them in like 2009, right before I started comedy. I remember that pretty clearly. And then I saw them again just a couple weeks ago.
Cool, man.
Yeah, that was good. As a lot of good memories from that band. I went through my whole punk phase in college, and I'm still pretty much there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, really like punk music, yeah. And I think that kind of finally found what I really liked, and yeah. There's a lot of shitty punk out there too, so if I say punk, don't think it's like Newfound Glory or something like that.
I'm thinking like a Gigi Allen,
like a Fugazi,
Minor Threat, yeah.
Dillinger 4, Lagwagon,
Gigi Allen. I just keep
saying Gigi Allen. He's the front of all those bands.
I just like his fuck you attitude. That's what I like. Yeah. I know some of the recordings are shitty.
Yeah.
His singing was shitty, but I just like that he just threw shit on stage.
Yeah. I think listening to punk music kind of really gave me a different sense of humor. Because you listen to like the Vandals, you know, and bands like that, and they don't really care. They don't really give a fuck. And I kind of like that. That appealed to me. I'm like, well, you know, they can say whatever they want. Why can't I say whatever I want? And that was kind of it was okay to not be polite, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gigi Elvis. You heard of Gigi Elvis?
Gigi Elvis, no, I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, it's a guy who dresses up like Elvis Presley.
Nice.
And he sings Elvis songs, but like punk. And then he shoves a banana in his ass.
Well, you got to have the Gigi Allen.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he got a Minor Threat album, the vinyl.
I think mostly all I see is that one collection is like all their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
blue
it.
Cover. Yeah.
I want to get Fugazi, but they haven't reissued the 13 songs. But yeah. They have them out there. There's like the regular original print.
Yeah. Well, Fugazi has so many albums. Like anything you pick up, I've never listened to a Fugazi album and been like, well, that was boring.
Yeah.
Like they're all good. And that's good. Like The Argument's probably my favorite one. So, and that's the last one they put out. So they were good the entire way through.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Growing up, I go back and
forth. No, that's fine.
Looking back, do you see that it's maybe a troubled childhood, or did you have any troubles, or
you know what,
bullying or anything?
No,
like that?
I was never bullied. I think my parents they didn't have they weren't the most lovey-dovey couple ever, you know. So I think I became a little bit of a jaded, to traditional relationships early on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried to make it work for a long time. That's why we moved to San Antonio and everything. But I think I was a pretty smart kid. I knew what was going on. I knew they weren't really happy, you know. So I think being grounded in reality that early on was like, it kind of helped, you know. Yeah. It helped give perspective on the important things in life. And, you know, even though my comedy is mostly about shitty relationships, which makes sense now, you know, a little bit.
And I had a question. Are you married or anything?
No.
No married, no kids?
No kids. I'm 33 years old. I'm Hispanic. I live in San Antonio. Somehow I've dodged that bullet. Yeah.
I don't know. Like the way you put that.
Yeah.
Because it's so true.
I don't know. I don't know how I did it, but yeah. No kids. No, no. You know, I've had a few serious relationships. Right now, I'm just kind of, you know, seeing whoever. So nothing serious right now, but...
But that's where that goes back to the being jaded from...
A little bit, I think so.
Now, were they affectionate towards each other?
My parents...
Nothing at all like that, right?
I mean, they could be. They tried. They really did try. Mm-hmm. And they were really good parents to us. You know, they were really affectionate to us. The kids. I have a brother and a sister.
Okay. Are you the oldest?
No, I'm the middle.
Oh, okay.
Which also is probably why I always want the attention.
Yeah.
That's what my mom always told me anyway. So, but yeah. Yeah, it wasn't unhappy. It was just, it wasn't, you know, no family's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, there was that. Yeah. So.
Like, thinking of, and this is on the subject, but it may be not. I don't know. looking back on my childhood, my grandparents, my grandma slept in her bedroom. And my grandfather slept on the couch. And that was normal.
Oh, wow, on the couch.
Yeah, it was normal. And I was just like, it's normal. Then growing up, and then you hear people talk. I'm like, they're going to bed. It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
Isn't your grandpa supposed to go to the couch? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, my grandparents, both my grandparents, on all four of them on either side, yeah, they each had their own room.
Exactly.
Like, apparently, at some point, either you get your own room or you split up. I think that's the case. Yeah.
My parents are like that now. They haven't split up, but my dad sleeps in the living room and my mom sleeps in their room. And where's the love, you know?
Yeah, you know.
I want to hear them, like, be intimate.
Yeah. I think that generation, they got married so young that, you know, they ran out of shit to say to each other at some point, you know? They're like, hey, you just want to do your own thing. And
there's roommates who hang out.
Yeah, roommates, And one of them feeds the other one, you know? So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out if that still happens with our generation, but...
It's all divorce, man.
Yeah, now it's just like, nope, there's other options. There's better shit to do.
Yeah.
I got a cell phone. I can find something to do. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. What do you like to do in your pastime?
Like I said, music's my main thing.
Do you play any instruments?
I play bass, not very well. I try to be.
That's good for punk.
Yeah, exactly. I think I originally wanted to be in a band. That was like me, Aaron, and Caleb, and in like sixth grade, we all picked an instrument that we were gonna get good at, and Caleb's dad was a drummer, so he got the drums. Aaron had an acoustic guitar, so I got left with bass.
There you go.
That's
what happens.
Yeah, so I got a bass pretty early on, and I got okay at it, but then I moved here, and I never really found my niche of people I wanted to play with, so it just became kind of a hobby. And I still play every now and then. Picked it back up recently. I was like, all right, I can still play this. But I always wanted to be in a band, and I realized I didn't have a whole lot of talent, so I think that's why I became a comedian. Cause like
just
I still,
to be on stage.
I still wanted to be on stage. And I thought, like, being a comedian, you know, it'd be the same thing, you know, girls and fame and money, and no, that is not it. I'm like a bass player for a Smash Mouth cover band.
That's perfect.
That's about what a comedian average intake is, right there.
What if you got like the most pussy out of the band?
That's what it's all about, I think, right?
Yeah, that is.
I mean, no one is supposed to admit that, but you know.
Yeah, I played in a band for a while.
Yeah.
Tejano band.
Nice.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, how did that go? It was
I toured for 6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your instrument?
They had me play bass, but I'm a guitar player. But okay. I switched over. I never played bass before, and they said, "Here, play this." I was like, "Okay."
Every Tejano song is just one bass line.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did it get a little old?
Very. I don't play Tejano to this day. Yeah. I don't. Once in a while, I'll listen to it. Like, just once in a while. But I won't pick up a gig and play it. It gets real repetitive.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom,
that's boom, it, boom, man. Boom, and,
What was the lady action like in a Tejano band?
They were already old. The other guys were already old. So they're like, all right, good night.
Okay.
A lot of the times, I would just drink milk in the room, in the hotel room.
Nice.
And I drank a lot then, too. I was like 18, 19. I would drink a lot, but that's why I stopped now.
Yeah, fair enough.
I hate milk. I like soy milk. Soy or regular?
Lactose-free milk.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
A little Mootopia. I'm not trying to plug HEB or anything.
Hey, let's plug them.
Maybe we can get a sponsor.
I want to get a sponsor? Flavor God. Have you ever heard of Flavor God?
No.
They're seasoning. It's all natural.
Nice.
No, very low sodium.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's amazing. I'm laughing because I'm trying to make it sound good. I don't know what fucking fun to fucking say.
You guys get this low sodium. The lemon peppers. Let me tell you. The season all is great.
Yeah. They are real good. That's all I cook with.
Yeah. That's why I like cooking, too. I do like... That's another... You bring it up. You're asking me things I like. I like to cook. I think it's very therapeutic.
It is, man. I love cooking.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at it. I'm not great at it. I can't bake anything.
No. Not pastry myself.
No. I'm not going to make a dessert, but I can make some decent food and some decent side dishes. So.
What was the last good meal you made?
I finally figured out how to make Spanish rice, which my mom made it.
It's difficult.
It is, right?
To know how your mother made it. Because you follow all the recipes, it's mm-hmm. not the same.
Yeah.
It's not. You can't It'll get that orange out. Color and yeah, the taste.
The color's off or it's too. It's not cooked all the way through or, you know.
It's not enough salt. There's always exactly. that one little thing.
There's always something.
Oh, so, yeah, I know what
But
you
I
mean.
Made a pot the other day and I actually put some in a container, yeah, to give to my dad just because I was like, check it out, I did
exactly.
it. I did it, yeah.
What do you say?
He'd be like, all right, well, he hasn't, you know, he's not going to give me too many compliments.
Still,
yeah.
still no affection. Just
yeah,
just,
yeah.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, you got Tabasco? All right, Dad, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's another main dish that you cook? Because I love cooking, too.
I do a nice spaghetti sauce. So any kind of pasta dish where I can throw my spaghetti sauce on there is good.
Very nice, man.
Yeah, made with I always like Italian sausage. I think that's it's a good meat.
I want to get Italian sausage. I want to wrap it in a croissant dough and then put it in the
oven.
Yeah,
I
love sausage
something.
Rolls.
Yeah.
I love it.
And croissant dough, never heard anything.
I'm taking online cooking classes.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Nice. I just go to YouTube. I try to that's how I learned to make
I should have just done that, honestly.
That's how I learned to make sushi for the first time.
Is it hard?
It's pretty difficult. It's pretty. I understand why you have to go into a program to make it because
you need practice.
Yeah,
that's what it is. They make it look so easy on the videos. They're like, oh, man, it's clean up and done, and then you have this whole mess after you're done.
Exactly.
That's how it is.
I had to boil rice vinegar for the first time in my life, and
how was that?
It smells.
Yeah.
but it didn't come out that bad, and I didn't want to go the full way and use raw fish, so I just used crab meat and
avocado,
cream cheese, and avocado.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice. Like a Texas spring roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a Texas crab roll, I think. I made chorizo stuffed chicken, roasted chicken.
That sounds interesting.
Yesterday.
All right.
It's a recipe I got from Gordon Ramsay.
Nice.
One of my favorite cooks.
Nice, all right.
So I made that last night. It was good.
Yeah, I like an episode of Top Chef every now and then. I can watch that stuff. I don't really like reality shows, but that one's not bad. It's like, I like food.
When I sit down to watch TV, I don't even watch TV. I watch YouTube. That's it.
Yeah.
That's where I get all my news
that's
from.
That's our new, yeah. That's a new pastime. It's just, cell phone. That's it.
Yeah. No, on my TV.
Oh, on your actual
So TV. It's not so.
They got you.
Just really clarify that. Yeah. Get all mad. No, it's not.
It's not a desktop either. It's on my TV. I have a package.
So what was the craziest thing you've ever run into doing stand-up? It was like an episode of NPR or something,
when, me being on stage or what I've witnessed at shows?
Anything like that. Just something crazy that you're like, holy shit, that was crazy.
Being on stage, I've been lucky. I haven't, nothing too much.
No hecklers or anything?
Yeah, you get a heckler every now and then, but, you know, usually, that's one thing it's hard to do when you're early in comedy, is shut down a heckler.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to do it a few times, but typically you just ignore them until they shut up, and if they don't shut up, the show just, you know, kind of becomes a drag, and then you're like, all right, I just want to get off stage.
Yeah.
As far as things I've witnessed at comedy shows, I saw this guy came in at LOL once, and it was for Dov Davidoff, and the Dov's based out of New York, I believe, Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah. And this guy was like throwing $100 bills around. Jay Wycott was actually there that night. Mm-hmm. This guy's like just tipping everybody hundreds. You know, he thinks he had the money to spend. But he also thought that bought him the right to be able to say whatever he wanted during the show.
Yeah.
And eventually people are like, you know, because I worked the door there, I'm security. At the time I wasn't, I was just watching from the back. So the manager had already gone up to him, talked to him, told him to be quiet. People around him were telling him, shut the fuck up, you know. And finally, Dov Davidoff just jumps off stage and punches the guy right in the face.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was his last time he came?
This was his first time he came.
Okay.
He's been back twice since then, so apparently he didn't piss off the owners too much. But, so Dov jumps off stage, punches this rich white guy, you know, punches him right in the face. And that starts that gives the green light for all the tables around him that this guy's been bugging for the last hour to just wail on him. So it becomes like a brawl in the middle of a showroom. And this guy and his buddy are just getting hammered. And finally, we break it up. And the guy, we're like, just get out of here. You know, we're not going to call the cops if you don't. So he leaves. And obviously, this is like, it's probably midnight by now after about a 30-minute delay.
Mm-hmm.
And Dov Davidoff's like, well, I want to finish the show.
Exactly.
And the rest of the crowd's like, yeah, let's finish the show. So he does another 15 minutes, and then, you know, they wrap it up, and I think we got drunk that night. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is amazing. You know, when Todd Glass kicked that table out, were you there for that?
I don't know if I saw that one. I saw most of his shows, but I was in and out of the room sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah, he was... I hate to bring up Todd Glass. I know he saw me there like a fucking groupie. Just like,
hey, man, he's a good guy to be a groupie for as far as comedians go. Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I went to every single fucking show.
Did you go to Ruin?
Every single fucking show. Nice. The early one and then the late
one.
Yeah. And I saw him at fucking karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke. That was a cool night. He was just kind of sitting there just kind of laughing at all of us, you know, getting drunk. It was fun.
I talked to Adam Egott. He's the manager of the Comedy Store in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, I was, you know, I saw Todd Glass and you know, hanging out with him. And Adam Egott was like, oh, yeah, Todd Glass, he didn't finish it. So I was like, he's always on, right? And he goes, yeah, that's the best way to be. He's always on.
But it's a kind of a charming on.
Yeah.
He's not over the top. And
it feels like he's the life of the party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just kind of, people just gravitate to him, you know, like when he came out to the Blind Tiger. I remember he was sitting on the patio and he had 15 people just crowded around him.
I was one of them.
Yeah, you're one of them.
Sitting
right
next to him.
Yeah.
Listening to every single fucking word he said.
By the way, I don't know if people have never met Todd Glass, that guy smells better than anyone I have ever.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird.
No.
But it hits you. As soon as he walks into a room, he wears this, he says it's a soap he uses. And the guy just smells like an angel. He really does.
He does. I'm laughing because it's fucking true.
Yeah. I mean, I asked him several times throughout the weekend. I'm like, what is that soap? I want to be you. What is that? He wouldn't tell me. He just gave me hints. So, like, I've Google searched using his hints trying to figure out what the soap is.
Nothing yet?
No. I can't figure it out. He just told me he got it at Nordstrom's and that it was made by a record producer.
Oh.
Which, no, that doesn't garner many hits on Google.
Mm. Phil Spector. No, I'll reach out. I'm going to reach out to somebody. I'm going to try to find out what stuff he is. Because he did smell delicious.
He was, for lack of a better word, yeah, he did. And
always popping Altoids. And
he's the most proper. He fusses over a comedy room the way women fuss over their wedding.
Yeah.
And it makes for an awesome comedy show, you know? And the thing is, he's so manly about it too. Because I don't know if you know, your listeners know, Todd Glass is gay, but it's like Henry Rollins fussing over a wedding. Like that's what it is when he does his comedy show.
Yeah.
Like he's so manly about it.
What a better way to fucking compare it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so adamant about it, but and I think that's part of his charm. Just he has very deep convictions about things you wouldn't really notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Like when I first walked into the first show, I took the day off for work. I went in into the first show, and then I saw the candles out, yeah. And I heard the jazz music. I was like, this is Todd Glass.
Yeah.
Right away. Because I've been listening to him for years, and then.
I mean, he showed up. We open up at 5 o'clock. Mostly, usually comedians show up around 7:30, 7:45.
Yeah.
He was there at 4:30 waiting for us to open up so that he could set the mood. And not just set the mood, that he could, so he could get the ambiance going, even though there's no one in the showroom. He just wanted it to be ready. He wanted an energy to be there.
And it worked.
And it was. Huh? It was perfect.
And did you hear him talk about the club on his podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think about that?
I think, they're really, everything he said was true.
No, I don't want you to say anything because I know you.
It's fine. I know the owners listen to it.
They take it or?
I'm not sure, there's been a few things around the club that they've changed that may have been influenced by it.
I noticed that they started saying no cell phones. They never did that before.
No, they've always had a no cell phone policy.
I don't remember them.
Yeah.
I mean, the policy, yes, but like him actually announcing it, I don't remember.
Oh,
him
yeah,
doing
that. It. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He insisted on doing his own announcements.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about after Todd Glass left.
Oh, yeah.
And after the podcast.
No, left. We kind of took a page out of Todd Glass's book, and the owner, who was really really fond of him too, the owner has kind of tried to mold the shows now and into as much as we can into what Todd Glass did at the club that week. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
Yeah,
and what was your take on the whole thing about everything he said about the club? I mean, besides it being true, like, what?
I think he liked the staff there so much that he just wanted to give them a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really what it was. He felt like he was, doing doing like a public service for the people who love comedy, because everyone who works there is pretty much a big comedy fan. Like whenever we get servers at the club, like they stay, they don't really leave.
Yeah.
Every now and then people they'll get a job somewhere and they'll take off, but pretty much everyone who works at the club loves comedy, and they're there because of that. So I think he felt like they weren't being heard from ownership, and he felt like it was his duty to do something.
And it's true that they weren't being heard?
Yeah. Most people don't really want to speak up just because, they don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
But, there's issues, but it's still a fun place to work, and, it's
free shows, right?
Yeah, free shows. Could be worse, but
you get to talk to every single comedian that goes in there?
Pretty much. I've had very few jerks, every now and then.
Who were the jerks?
This bitch I don't mind throwing under the bus. Lonnie Love is a fucking cunt. Yeah, that woman is awful.
What happened?
She showed up, like I said, typically comedians show up around 7:45, and that's pushing it, because we want to make sure that you're there on time so that the show's gonna go smoothly. Well, this chick shows up at like 8:30. She's supposed to be on 8:45, and she comes in, and I'm like, hey, we've been waiting for you. Doesn't pay attention to me.
Wow.
Goes to the showroom, throws open the doors, and the manager's like right there. He's like, oh, where have you been? We're worried. And she goes, what? I'm going to be here. Like, just no hello, nothing. No, sorry, I was running late. Just, I'm going to be here. Don't worry about it. And then she had fans waiting for her after the show. I'm like, hey, Lonnie, you have like, it wasn't a lot. It was like 10 people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you have a group of people out here who want to meet you. And most comedians, no matter how big they are, after they've hung out after the show, they'll go out and sign a few autographs or whatever. Maybe they're not going to meet everybody, but they'll still do something.
Yeah.
She's like, do you have a back entrance I can leave? So she went out the back door just so she wouldn't have to...
Just to avoid her fans.
Avoid her fans, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the worst that we've ever had there. She's awful. And she got booked again, and they bumped her off because they're like, no.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's fine.
That's good.
But yeah, Mike Epps is all right. He was.
I heard the story.
Yeah, I don't have a story about him really. It's just he's one of those guys that doesn't really talk to anyone, and not that's cool if people don't want to talk to you, you know, because you know they're doing their own thing. But he's just he dropped the mic on stage, which is always kind of lame. I never like to see someone drop the mic, just like, you know, do a joke and walk off stage, throw the mic. It's like, come on, man. You were in fucking Friday 2 or, you know, Friday next Friday, whatever. You're not a fucking star. And then, like, you know, just line up joints on stage and
really
blunts on stage.
What did the owner say about that?
What could he say? You know, the guy had, you know, it's not like he's going to get violent or anything, but.
Did he travel with the posse?
Yeah, he had an entourage shit, and, you know, and it's just that kind of attitude. It's fine if you want to do that, whatever. It's your thing. It's your show. But don't expect to get booked again.
Yeah.
And neither one of them have been back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
And
that shit catches up to you after a while.
And, you're burning bridges pretty much.
Yeah.
And, man, I love getting the inside. You know, when I did an interview with Alex Ansel.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Sometimes my thoughts are just all over the place. I just got out of work, so.
No, you're right. Me too.
Yeah. I went over to interview him at LOL in the green room. I found a little paper for Margaret Cho. I guess it was her birthday.
Oh,
Margaret
yeah, yeah.
Cho, not
yeah,
show.
Yeah. Cho,
Spanish.
Yeah.
Margaret Cho. And it said, happy birthday and we love you. And I kept it.
Nice.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. She was a... you're a rebel, bro. Picking up trash and keeping it, man.
She was what? What was...
She was nice. She was one of those chicks who she didn't want to go meet people just because, you know, some people, it's really taxing to meet all your fans and take pictures and, you know, listen to people's stories, you know.
It's draining.
Yeah. And it doesn't, whenever people don't want to do it, it doesn't bug me at all. It's just whenever they're a dick about it, like Lonnie Love was, that's when it bugs me. But, you know, she was still really nice to the audience or to the workers. She took pictures with the workers if they wanted to take pictures with her. You know,
cool.
So she was cool. You know,
did Kevin McDonald come already?
Norm McDonald.
Norm McDonald. I don't know why I said Kevin McDonald. Yeah, I'm thinking of Kids in the Hall. Yeah.
Wish that would be awesome. But no, Norm is in 2 weeks, and that's, I don't think I've looked forward to a show more.
Yeah.
Are you sold out?
No.
Not yet. No.
I'm gonna buy tickets.
Yeah, for sure.
I already got Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, nice, thanks. Yeah, Gilbert Gottfried's coming too. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Norm Macdonald. That's going to be, he's one of my, as far as Saturday Night Live goes, he's definitely top three.
Yeah.
Him, Phil Hartman, and the third one's always rotating. But those are like my two favorite.
When is Phil Hartman coming?
Yeah. Just kidding. He's going to do a guest spot on The Simpsons. That'd be my dream.
Norm Macdonald, have you seen his podcast?
Norm McDonald's. I never really listened to it. I don't think he does it anymore. Actually,
no, it hasn't. Yeah. But the back episodes.
Yeah, no, I know.
Fantastic.
Are they?
That's where Adam Egan comes in. He's his co-host on his podcast.
Nice.
And I guess they're good friends. And I got to meet Adam Egan.
Nice,
and
awesome.
Just ask him questions about Norm and stuff. That was pretty cool.
You know who does an amazing Norm McDonald impression is
Jay Moore.
Jay Moore. Yeah. I listen to Jay Moore Sports because I like I said, I do a delivery job for a deli.
Yeah.
And so I'm in my car for, you know, 3-4 hours a day during the week. And I'll just – Jay Moore, because I'm a Spurs fan. I like I like sports. You know, I'm not a huge sports guy, but I, you know.
Keep up with it.
I'm not a football fan, but I like basketball. So, you know, I don't mind listening to – but Jay Moore Sports is one of the – for me, it's like one of the most entertaining things you can listen to. Because you get his hilarious take on sports, but most of it's just him – with a comedian in studio just bullshitting. And, it's great. If you like sports, I can't recommend another podcast. Just cool, stream man. It, you know.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, more than that. It's awesome. Yep. And he does an amazing Norm Macdonald. Hey, Jay. Yeah. Yeah, Norm Macdonald's here. Yeah. So, I can't even do it, but.
he says one thing.
Norm it's all McDonald. About his inflections.
Yeah. What does he say? Does he say know what I'm saying or know what I mean? What does he say? He always repeats it over and over.
Yeah, that's the thing with Norm. Apparently, you have to do a lot of repeating.
Or you know. That's what he says.
What's that?
You know. That's what he says.
Oh, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah. What's that? I was at the mall the other day, you know. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Saw the see those young girls out there, you know. I don't know about all that, but yeah.
That's fucking great, dude. Yeah, that's a good impression you're doing. I can kind of do a Christopher Walken.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's not bad.
See, that's it.
That's not bad. Yeah. It's I need to have something. I need to have like a couple lines of dialogue ready to go. I'm not great at improv, but you know, I can do the inflections are fun. That's where you have fun with it. Sometimes I'll go up on stage and me and my buddy Chris Payne, another local comic, like one night the entire night we talked to each other in Norm Macdonald cadence.
That's awesome.
Just the entire back and forth. And then when I went on stage that night, I couldn't get out of it. So I told all my jokes as Norm Macdonald.
Did they work?
And it killed. Yeah, that's it was awesome. I'm like, I can't do that all the time. But man, that was a fun show.
How did you come up with the Norm Macdonald? You just listened to it over and over and then you caught on? Or yeah, was there something?
I'm basically doing an impression of Jay Moore's impression. So he really figured out how to do it. Just it's all about the cadence and the pauses and the little asides and, you know, yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, listened to his podcast, the More Norm Macdonald.
Oh, Norm Macdonald.
Like it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's one of those things that. That's the thing. There's so many podcasts out there that I want to catch up on, but I'm around comedy all the time.
I can imagine.
So a lot of the times I'm like, I'm good right now. Yeah. You know, I listen to Doug Loves Movies a lot.
Yeah,
that's always fun because you know, it's just a fun little podcast. And
I like the doing lines with Mark. That's my favorite.
May I do some lines? Yeah.
Hey, you like that shit? The way I came across the Christopher Walken impression, I'm going back to that. My friend's kid sounded like Christopher Walken when he would talk. Like, he had a little accent.
Yeah.
And
like that little kid kind of impediment a little bit.
Yeah. And so I do, I say what he said when I heard him say it was like, "There's ghost over there by the mailbox. It's crazy."
Crazy.
That's what the little kid said. That's my dialogue for Christopher Walken.
That kid has issues. Yeah. I think he's crying out for help, but
there's a lot of ghosts over there by the mailboxes. Awesome. Yeah.
That's the
best I've ever done it, by the way.
That's pretty good. That's one of the things I need to concentrate on as far as my comedy goes is branching out into stuff I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I'm not comfortable with improv. I'm not comfortable with impressions. So now that I have what I think is a decent stage voice and stage presence, I think my next level is to start pushing myself to develop other skills that can help me out. Because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing about being a comic. You're always thinking.
Always on. Yeah, not always, but you're always taking and seeing. This is my view on it. This is funny about it.
You're always trying to filter,
analyze it,
and figure out what can help your act. And that's anytime I think of a premise, even if it's the slightest premise for a joke, I go to my phone, I write it down.
Yeah.
You know, people don't carry around pad and paper so much anymore. No. But
I was coming across my old jokes that I've written down.
That's always weird, right?
Yeah, one of them was I was in Compton a while black.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's all I had.
That's a first year joke. Yeah.
And then another one I came up with was so stupid. It was my grandmother is 64 years old. It wasn't even that. My grandmother is 72 years old and she just gave birth to a brand new bouncing 34-year-old guy.
Nice.
I don't know why that was funny to me at the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever I'm high at 4 in the morning, everything's funny, and I look at it the next day, like that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
And I look at it the next day, like, what the hell was I thinking about? Yeah. There's pieces missing, and it doesn't flow together, but yeah.
Who's that one comic here in town that you see that's like, oh, shit, he's doing what I want to do, like just outside the box, or he's branching out?
There's a few guys who are really doing well here. Of course, Raul Sanchez. He's in Austin now, but he's still we consider him a San Antonio comic. He's from here. Yeah. You know, grew up here. And
good timing, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great storyteller, and he tells a really simple idea, and just makes it something you've never heard. You know.
Yeah.
So Raul Sanchez for sure. Let's see here. Travis Reyes, who I think you've had on, right?
Yeah.
Travis is he is the epitome of raw talent. Like, if the guy could just figure his shit out, he would murder us all. He'd fly past us all. Travis is a really, really nice guy, and he has ridiculous talent that I wish, and when I see him, he's like 24 years old, I think.
That fucking freaked me
out.
Yeah,
he's so young.
I was talking with him here, and he said 24.
Yeah, and the thing is, he was doing it whenever I started, so that means he was like 19 whenever, because there's always that hierarchy of the guys that you knew were around whenever you started.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking back, I'm like, 5 years later, I'm like, oh, you were that kind of comic, but I thought you were this kind of comic because I didn't know what the hell I was talking about,
Mm-hmm.
But Travis is definitely one of those guys who if he can figure out how to rein in all of his ability, he's gonna really be great. So, yeah. And what else we got? Larry Garza, the guy knows how to write a joke.
I like his George shirt. Joke.
Yeah.
I love that joke.
Larry Garza is so likable and his material's really relatable. He can perform for any crowd and make them laugh. So yeah, those are some of the guys, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And ladies, because you don't want to leave out the ladies.
This may sound like an ignorant question. Are there a lot of female comedians here in San Antonio?
No.
Okay, well, thank you. I don't feel as ignorant anymore.
There's, as far as, like, actual, like, they have an act, they can go up, put out, 20 minutes. That's really all you need for to be a legit comic, I think, is, like, 20
good,
solid.
Tight 20.
Solid 20.
Tight 20.
That's coming. There's a girl who has just moved here from, she grew up here, but she went to school, and now she's back. And she seems new to the comedy scene, but she's been doing it for a while. She's really funny. Her name's Abby Rosenquist. She's great. I don't know if you've ever heard.
I've heard of Abby Rosenquist, actually.
Yeah, she's doing really good things. She reminds me of Rich Voss's wife, the girl who did Women Aren't Funny. I can't think of her name right now. It'll come to me later. Bonnie McFarlane, that's it. She reminds me a lot of Bonnie McFarlane. Kind of a little dirty, but not over the top.
Kind of absurd.
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Yeah, really. She's really funny. And then Allie Amrine also is doing really good. She started after me, and I think she'll be featuring pretty soon. Cool. at least at River Center, and she lives in Austin now too. She's doing well.
Have you performed in Austin?
Once, yeah.
How'd you like it?
Done one show there, and it was great. It was awesome.
That's what I hear.
There's things about Austin that are beneficial. There's also things that I think can hold people back. And this is me only performing there once, but no, just knowing the comics that I see from Austin and judging that against an actual audience, a paying audience.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin, you can get away with a lot that you probably can't get away with in a lot of other parts of the country.
Yeah.
And that's not even content-wise, like, as far as, like, pushing the envelope or whatever. It's that people, a lot of audiences, I feel that people in Austin in general, they want to be part of the joke.
Hmm.
They want to be in the know.
Yeah.
So they'll laugh at a lot more than, you can get away with a lot more, and they'll laugh just because they don't want to feel like they're left out of the joke. Whereas you come to a San Antonio audience, these people don't give a shit.
No.
They're tourists, or they're military, or they're, family people.
It has to be like a generic.
Because people do appreciate comedy. People appreciate smart comedy here. But you have to have, the number one thing I think in comedy is you have to be able to relate with people.
Yeah.
And if you're doing joke about the, Crimean War or something like that, trying to do a pun. I say that because Kenny Van does that, who's a local comic here, but he's not an Austin comic. It was just the example that popped in my head. But if you're doing some really kind of off the wall, esoteric kind of reference,
mm-hmm.
you might get away with it in Austin. But I think if you want to be a working comic, you kind of have to refine your material a little more.
Yeah.
To something, not dumb it down, but make it something that people could actually care about, relate with, That's what all comedy is making illusions that people can get around.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're going to wrap it up. I usually go longer, but I know they're going to close up.
Oh, yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anything in closing? Any plugs? Anything?
Yeah. Say, when is this going out?
People shout outs. I'm going to try to get it up by hopefully in a couple of days.
If
it freezes over tomorrow, I'm staying in from work
and I'm
just
okay
on a typewriter.
Yeah. Well, if it does make it out in time, this Saturday, January 10th, I'll be at the Overtime Theater with J.Y. Cotton, Ali Amrine, Josh Cabaza, George Anthony, Larry Garza.
Cool. Is there a flyer for that on Facebook already?
Yeah.
The reason I'm saying that is I'll put it on my Facebook.
Yeah. I put it up on my page. Just go to my page and you can see it there.
Are we friends on Facebook?
I don't think so, not yet.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, I'll fix that. And then don't get mad at me.
I won't. It's crazy.
You're crazy. You know, and but what else I got coming up? I got a couple one spots over at River Center. I'll be doing like I think I'm gonna be hosting a New Faces showcase on the 25th of January,
cool,
which is where we bring in the new guys and give them some time, and then we surround them with like two or three veterans or people who have been doing it for a while to kind of tie it all together.
Cool,
doing that with Mike Suarez and Blair Thompson. And then in Valentine's week at LOL, I'll be opening all week, cool, Wednesday through Sunday for Jeff Dye, who's hilarious.
Good job.
Yeah, I think Jeff Dye was on Last Comic Standing, and he's a pretty boy, so he's good for Valentine's.
Yeah.
The ladies like him, but he's hilarious. He's definitely one of a top 10 comic of everybody I've seen there. That's why I asked for him. I try to work with people I really like.
On the 21st of January, we're going to have a show here, nice. Blue Star. Hopefully you come, man. Please.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, I'm off on Wednesday. So
there you go, man.
There we go. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's do something with me as Christopher Walken and you as Norm.
All right.
Go ahead. You start off. Go. Bananas, go.
All right. this place is closing. Well, the thing about when a bar closes, that's when the ladies come out,
Oh, it's crazy. I love the ladies.
Well, you got to be careful, I don't know what I slipped into there. Became like a northeastern politician or something.
The ladies are good.
The ladies are great.
All right, man. Well, thank you, dude. Yep. I appreciate it.
Bob, no problem, man. That was fun, yeah.